In Tsongkhapa's Lamrim Chemo, he speaks of four types of the altruistic intention to become enlightened. And the first type is said to be like a shepherd in his flock. The shepherd puts himself before... That's the other way around. The shepherd puts the flock before himself. Similarly, one who practices this bodhicitta acts so as to establish all living beings in Buddhahood before oneself. If one has the altruistic wish that all beings should reach enlightenment before oneself, how is it possible to practice if the only real method is to help others, is to remove our own obstructions to omniscience first? It's not four, but three types in terms of how the attitude is generated. There's another classification of four, which is not this one. The analogy with the shepherd and his flock refers to the way in which the attitude is generated, whereas in actual fact, there's no case of everyone else becoming enlightened before oneself does. As the Sankhya Pandita said in his differentiation of the three vows, bodhisattvas have two types of wishes or prayers, those that can be accomplished and those that cannot be accomplished. For instance, there are many such prayers or wishes in Shantideva's engaging in the bodhisattva deeds. These are not ones that actually can be achieved, but are for the sake of developing a strong will and determination. Also, for instance, in the practice of giving away one's own happiness and taking upon oneself others' suffering, except for perhaps very minor forms of suffering, it is impossible actually to do this. There was a question yesterday from someone about the retreat for 3 years, 3 months, and 3 days. Actually, it is not for that period of time. The term losum choksum refers to 3 years and 3 phases of the moon. In other words, 3 periods of 15 days. So it would be a month and a half. But it, of course, one could go into retreat for 3 years, 3 months, and 3 days. With respect to the relationship between the two truths, does the realization of emptiness guarantee that appearances are cognized validly? If you understand emptiness, will this guarantee that you realize appearances properly, validly? Even if in a period of deep meditative equipoise in which one is directly cognizing emptiness, there is no dualistic appearance, after arising from that meditative equipoise in the state subsequent to it, there would be dualistic appearance. There would be cases, though, of having realized emptiness and then rising from meditative equipoise and seeing appearances of objects, the objects falsely appearing to be inherently existent, but one would understand that though they appear to be inherently existent, they are not inherently existent.
Cheta mazang ni na nuya sa ji tung ni ga ni na nuya so re. Ben dang na shi ben tung ni ni den zin shu chung dua sen di shen ro shi me ba kho cha ji cha ba zang ge de yin sa ma re. Dong ma ni kho cha en tung ni ga ro se me nge ba yin na ya. Se me nge ba ten je de dong yang ne yang de che yang ne yang de che ni. Ne ben shi ne zhu xin te ge re. Da shi ne zhu me ba xi na. Chuk chuk ben zhong xin me ba xi ni ge na ya.
If a person has not attained one-pointed concentration, a calm abiding of the mind, it will be difficult for a mere understanding of emptiness to serve as a counteragent to the conception of inherent existence. Rather, one needs again and again to enter into realization of emptiness, and through the accompaniment of meditative stabilization, one-pointed concentration, make the mind so strong that this prevents the conception of inherent existence. All good qualities of high realization are such that they must be increased gradually over months and years. It hardly ever is the case that one is just an ordinary person today and some high being tomorrow. Should one have patience with oneself, with one's own slowness and backsliding?
Backsliding.
Going like not progressing, going backwards. One should not be discouraged. You'll be foolish to feel, oh, how could I possibly do such practice? It's important to generate the power of effort.
Then when a dig the slum, the Shakadinish one, a dig the Tongu Chambuchilia, any wrong arm, Tibuchinish Lucebe, and Kadig Rod the Sigin and Tumaris.
And in a scripture, it is said that since we've been accustomed for such a long period of time in such a strong way to faulty states of mind, it's difficult through just a little practice to turn the mind around. For instance, it is difficult with just a drop of sugar or some sweet thing to change the taste of something that is powerfully bitter. It is very important to keep making effort in the face of failure. What would His Holiness advise to families locked into a domestic hell of incompatibility, over-demanding children, poverty, and no time for meditation? This sort of circumstance definitely does occur.
That's also, you see, under that circumstances, there's no other way but have to try to remain an honest man,
mm-hmm.
and sincere man as much as possible. And you see, otherwise, the member chief said, "Tell it all day. That how she wish to see the consumer chief there, na." And the Tungin Yadi, Lang Yamba, as a Buddhist viewpoint, Tada Kau Yadi, Lang Yamba Savi, Drebu Imbari, Ta Kau Shivis to the consumer Jusani, Kato Tendem Murder Chikitana, Tadun Drebu Dulja Shadiro.
But from the Buddhist point of view, if one thought that just because the situation is difficult, one should behave in some scattered or selfish way, then the effects of that action would be even worse than what one is undergoing now.
As I mentioned, you see, as a Buddhist practitioner, then you see, it must realize that the present difficult circumstances is entirely due to my own past mistake. And so, you see, now you actually experience the difficult period, so try to best avoid the further, untamed kasaka. Matua.
Untamed attitudes.
Any masya di kaya jambarisha. Matua di nyuntaya.
And to diminish, it's very important to diminish untamed states of mind.
And under any circumstances, we should not lose any hope. You see, if we lost our hope, then that is the worst, that is the real failure, or the real cause of failure, defeatism. Right? So you see, it is very important in any case, after all, we are human beings. We have human brain. They are human beings, our human neighbor. You see, all our neighbor, not bad. You see, they are good human beings. So you see, helper is there. You yourself, at least human being, you can do, we can overcome any problem. So it is very essential to be calm. So that is my feeling.
What is sexual misconduct?
That the loyum sadhva. Loyum liya
Sexual misconduct is explained, is identified at length in the Treasury of Knowledge. For instance, for a male, it would be to cohabit with somebody else's wife or with somebody who's being under the care of her family. And it would be the same for a female, the other way around. Some people feel that since in the text, when they, the ten non-virtues are explained, they're explained from the point of view of a man, that then there would be no way for a woman to engage in any of the non-virtues. The Kala Chakra teaching is ascribed as the essential part of esoteric Tantrayana and Vajrayana. In the present circumstances, does His Holiness regard the preservation and transmission of the Kala Chakra teaching as an essential part of His mission in exile? In general, the highest yoga tantra mandalas are not just Kala Chakra, the most important ones are not just Kala Chakra, there are many others too. It requires a great many circumstances in order to have a Kala Chakra initiation, and one has to look to see whether those circumstances can be fulfilled or not. What I'm saying is that the circumstances came together with respect to my giving the Kala Chakra initiation several times, and therefore I gave it. It's not that I consider it a special responsibility of my own. In the West, our own cultural psychology often encourages, under certain conditions, the expression of negative feelings such as anger, sadness, hurt, jealousy, and so forth as a form of personal development.
Personal development.
These psychological techniques seem very effective for a great many Westerners. I have often been in great conflict with Buddhist psychological practices which stress transcendence of such negative feelings. How could I understand current Western psychological practices in a Buddhist framework? About this, I usually think that there are two classes of emotional feelings here. One class would be illustrated, for instance, by undergoing a period of great fright in the past. And in that case, it seems better that rather than hiding one's feelings inside or hiding one's experience, it's better to let it out and speak about it. However, afflictive emotions like desire and hatred are not such that a single expression of them would cause them to be exhausted, used up. Rather, through the expression of them, they tend to get stronger. Therefore, it would seem better to reflect on the disadvantages of engaging in desire and hatred. Although one is to overcome desire and hatred when they are produced, it is better before they are produced to prevent their generation through reflecting on their disadvantages.
I mean, you see, method is always we have to analyze what is the negative result, what is the positive result, right? Positive result, right?
Yes.
Of these, the anger, such as anger, the jealousy and hatred. So then, it is very obvious, very clear, the negative. It's very, very bad, very harmful. There's no positive thing as a result of anger. So you see, analyze, judging, then gradually you have more convinced or more conviction.
More conviction.
Easy solution. That kind of thing. Kongdu nimi di shukshir di chir thonu yundu. That kongdu sa nimi tab jabu shukshir di chokkina mindu sanbe susu da conviction di shukshir dhukurwa. Di tsue kajini kongdu li penyan jir isha.
Once you repeatedly reflect on the disadvantages of anger, you will develop more and more conviction in the unsuitability of anger, and that will cause it to diminish. How do meat-eating Buddhists reconcile the ethical prescription of no killing? With respect to the discipline, as I said earlier, there is no prohibition of eating meat. However, in some Mahayana sutras, the eating of meat is prohibited.
Such as Langavatara Sutra, and also in Tantric, the lower Tantric, three lower Tantric, three over yoga, in this teaching, also completely prohibited meat, eating meat. Now in Mahanudara Yoga Tantra, not prohibited. In fact, you see, should take meat and dekhasa.
Beer.
Drink, as I mentioned earlier. Now the actual question, the country goes on, the shasai chaya kabdiye tiri.
Then in terms of the conflict, number one, one should not take meat that is purposely killed for you.
The basic idea is, if there is available meat, no prohibition. If there is no meat available, then you should not ask meat. So that is the concept, right? Basic concept. Now, in England, the majority, the majority of vegetarian chevy, you know, when they affect you, that's most welcome. Very good.
If the majority of people did become vegetarian, it would be helpful, it would be most welcome. Could you please enlarge on the differences between the conventional and the ultimate? This will come at the point of the discussion on wisdom. What is the spiritual practice for a person who suffers from chronic illness affecting the partial function of the brain? As I said yesterday, if a person is extremely handicapped, it's difficult to engage in religious practice. It is said that the practice of the Buddha's teaching is to be done within the mind. It is not just something looked on from the outside. If it were just some external behavior or activity, perhaps the person could do it, it would be easier.
So the religion is not outside, it's external thing, or on clothes or something like that. But religion in our heart, is in our mind. So something very serious handicapped to thinking power, and hardly do anything. They do not.
Except for if the person is able to speak, perhaps the person could recite a mantra. It's important to realize that the practice of Dharma, religion, is within the mind. As one of the Gadamba sayings goes, one needs to change internally. You should leave the outside just as it is. If you're attempting to show something in the outer behavior and that actually does reflect what is an improvement inside, then that's fine. However, if you're just making a show of it outside, then that is hypocrisy. I have heard that when a person survives a clinical death or has that type of death experience, the experience cancels out their past karma. It is as though they have a clean slate. Is this true?
Somebody else, Tanshana, Tadet Dungit, Tamudigi, and Dungit Chamudigi,
It seems that there's some confusion here. It could be very valuable if a person undergoes great suffering to at that point change the attitude towards suffering and accept upon oneself the burden of everyone's suffering. That would be very helpful. If it were the case that your karma were wiped clean merely by going through the death experience, since we have died many times in former lifetimes, we know that isn't the case. In the Heart Sutra, Avalokiteshvara expands the concept of emptiness to Shariputra. In view of this, why didn't Shariputra mention this at the great council of arhats when the Hinayana scriptures were written down? Avalokiteshvara explained emptiness to Shariputra.
Genesis ane ana tuni kwa yo lobjon thong ne yezal lo kdu chan le kumar wa te Genesis tuni tuni kwa yo lobjon thong ne ra receive teaching about sunyada from our lokud shora samol lo in kdu na le kwa jun zem lo wa
I think
in any case that the because I see Good to the talking about the Indian, number one.
With regard to the councils at which the scriptures were collected, we need to distinguish between the councils at which the Hinayana teachings were collected and those during which the Mahayana teachings were collected. In any case, the Heart Sutra, being a sutra that has as its main subject of discourse emptiness, is included in the scriptures of the Great Vehicle, and the collector would not be Shariputra here, but would be Manjugosha in the form of a Devaputra, according to Bhava Viveka's blaze of reasoning. And the tantric scriptures were collected by Vajrapani. How does the Christian concept of God relate to Buddhism?
So you see, that's God concept as a creator, as an ultimate creator, Then, since Buddhists do not accept Creator, sort of Creator as a God,
because Buddhists don't agree that it is a God that is the Creator.
Some people call Buddhism as a type of atheism. But now the God, in the sense, some sort of ultimate truth. Then, from Buddhist viewpoint, the shunya, or the ultimate nature, reality, is it things exist in that, within that nature. Things changing within that nature. Things are coming and going in that nature. Sankara, Chaitanya, Tongbe Namrus, Tuni Tundus Shas, Tongbe Namrus Shendo.
All phenomena are said to be the sport or expression of emptiness.
So from that viewpoint, Shunyata is a kind of creator, as an ultimate creator. So very recently, I met some Christian monk. You see, while we discussing, you see, some of them, you see, taking very different interpretation about the God theory. So it's much deeper than the ordinary sense of God, right?
Sense.
Meaning of God. So it is something very interesting subject to continue because of discussion or research. So interesting question. But when the Nangbe Chanyi when God said the Dili Kheba Yosare, the Nangbe signal of Sas Lavi Yosare, Yashimu Shibshi Ling Nua.
In the Buddhist way, the term God can refer to many different things.
Then under Tegi Lavan Shingi, Tegi Lavan Shingi, Zare Didu Maranzu Lava Yorba.
Basically, our own happiness and suffering is in our own hands. Thus, from this point of view, a God did not create our pleasure and pain at all. However, for the increase and decrease of pleasure and pain, there are many different circumstances that can bring this about. And among those circumstances, there could be a God. Thus, from this point of view, it is possible for a God to bring about some increase or decrease of pleasure or pain. However, if we speak about pleasure and pain being created by Brahma or Ishwara or God, there'll be many ways in which you could think about this.
Buddhism in I involve in between these two. You see, you know, I'm trying to make a dialogue between Marxism and Buddhism. So you see, from that side, I am a godly person. From this side, I am a godless person. So you see, sometimes it's difficult to...
If you don't understand the particular context well, you can get quite confused.
Finish?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Through the practice of ethics, one's mind naturally becomes more serviceable as one tames more and more one's verbal and physical activities.
As I mentioned earlier, you see, the real practice carried by mind. So therefore, now what we should do is our mind must be a clear, alerted, and very sharp-minded must have. For that, you see, generally our minds is too much scattered. See, some small, you see, noise here and here, is it happened, immediately our mind is go this way, that direction, this direction. So you see, our mind cannot channelize fully. So now for this reason, now the practice of samadhi is come. That telaya, nearly shinir to be two. So near the Tegisia, you see, Jalam Shishitu, a pile of a tendage, Shimache. And the net sent Napia, sensing in Dunzimera, described.
Thus, first of all, for the achievement of a calm abiding of the mind, the primary cause is the ethics already mentioned that bring one a relaxed mode of behavior. Then the next is to have a place of practice that is not in the middle of a lot of commotion.
And also some connection with diet. You see, in some physical condition, according to certain physical condition, it is necessary taking meat. But generally, you see, in some, I think most cases, vegetarian food is very helpful for the clear mind. Then another thing, you see, too much eating, not good. So you see, less eating. And of course, the drinking is out of question. See, no use.
Okay.
Then the all other, you see, drugs, these things, again, no question. I think smoke also not advisable. And things
if you were smoking while entering into deep meditation, there would be a danger that your mustache would catch on fire.
Then the, you see, it, now also the, you see, sleep, that also quite important. Too much sleep, your brain become dull, not good. And too little also, you see, not good. So, the very, because of that,
One has to do it just right.
And then, the physical posture is now, at this stage, it is something very important. If possible, because of lotus is at
the lotus position, cross-legged.
And you see,
and your hands in the position as is usually
described.
If you do assume the position that the Japanese assume in Zazen, then that's just right. It's fine.